This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Business with Nolutand on Tondim Lambo. The Express Edition, 6 to 7 p.m.
1824 on Power Business. Now, as promised, it is a Friday and many people will be winding down, and we're going to be winding out here in a studio. We do have the founder of Math & Co. In studio speaking to us about her wine brand. Now, Math & Co. is a wine brand that is established in South Africa and it caters for high-end premium wine lovers. It is originally from Stellenbosch and the wines are classified into four categories: white wine, red wine, rosé, and sparkling wine. The people at Math & Co, they pride themselves with collaborating with local and international companies around the world, and they promise us that every time you open one of the bottles of their wine, you will go on an amazing trip somewhere. So very excited to have the founder in studio. Her name is Gapsi Matenjwa, and she'll be speaking to us about her business, her wine, and really the uncharted territory. I think we do know of a few black-owned wine brands, but you know, very few of them are out there and us know about them. And I'm so pleased to have Gapsi here because I think that this will also give a lot of people just confidence to go into spaces where you might not see people like you doing what you do. But courage is the name of the game. So Gapsi, good evening. Thank you for your time.
Good evening to yourself and good evening to your listeners.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I must ask you, you know, we know South Africa has great wines. It's known all over the world. But historically, black people don't go into wines. So let's talk about what inspired you and Math & Co.
Thank you so much. My inspiration came from education.
Interesting.
Yes. I'm very passionate about training and education. Mm-hmm. And when we're dealing with one of the training courses and I said to myself, we are in a farm, and this is now a farm in Centurion. We're in a farm, and I thought, how can we get trained? You know, how can we get more information on wine? And in my work that I was doing in the Western Cape, I had workers who would occasionally go and work in wine farms. Mm. They'll come back, go and work in wine farms. Then I realized that in order to move the training now from the Western Cape, you're talking how come people cannot access it. Moving now the training from the Western Cape to places that were Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, that's what drove me closer to wine. And if I may touch maybe on the wine itself, why I'm talking about other provinces not having access to wine or not having the wine. Mm. If we look at the world itself, there's only a few countries that have the grapes that give us the wine. So I'm talking, we've taken the north of the equator. Mm. I will start from Canada. I'll move to Europe. If I move towards Europe, then we get to Europe. That's where you find the wine. Bottom of the equator, you find South America, which will be your Chile, and a little bit of the Western Cape, and you find Australia and New Zealand. So for me, it was like, okay, this is God-given gift to us, but it is in the Western Cape. So it drove me closer, but it started from the wanting to train, wanting to educate on wine, and then I got closer, then I realized it's our gift, but how do I move it outside Western Cape and put it elsewhere in South Africa, in Africa, in other parts of the world? So that's what drove me to it.
Amazing, Gapsi. You know, and the thing is, it's an industry that many of us don't have access to. And like you say, the places where the grapes are found are so few and far between, actually, if you look at the world. But I'm keen to find out from you then, getting into this industry, the barriers of getting into this industry, the challenges that you may encounter, because if it was easy, many more people would be breaking into the industry.
Yes, that's very true. The first one, the biggest one, is just information, understanding what it is. I mean, I'll take an example, Sauvignon Blanc. So you look at the name and the name itself says, okay, do nothing, you know. But when you then get to understand, then you get to know that, okay, something we can do. So I'll say the first thing is just information. And the second thing is the geography. being in the Western Cape, not just the Western Cape. We're talking Stellenbosch, we're talking Somerset West, Franschhoek, and other areas. Now, if you're not in that area, then it becomes a disadvantage. We were fortunate because our office is in Somerset West. So it was just like down the road. That's where we had it. So we were quite fortunate. So I think one of them is the location, which is the Western Cape. We can grow grapes in other parts of the country, but not as they do it in the Western Cape. Mm-hmm. The ag areas, I know in KwaZulu-Natal a bit, also in Gauteng, but it doesn't get to get to that. And the other thing also is understanding now that the certification, the registration, there's got the information you need to know about the licensing. What do you have? What do you need? Where do you go to? And also, which wine do you want to go for? Now, there's a big difference between white grapes and red grapes. Even the process, let me take you through it. Now, white wine, wine can be made from many other fruits, not just grapes, but 99.9% it is grapes. Mm-hmm. Now, even doing white grapes and red grapes is different. So you find that there are regions that are very good in white grapes. There are regions that are very good in red grapes. Mm-hmm. Now, in the winemaking process, when doing white wine, the difference between white and red is with white wine, there's the crushing process and the grape itself, there's a separation. So in the grape, you find three things, which is the skin on the outside. You find the pulp, which is the mushiness inside. You find the seed. So now in doing white grapes, the crushing happens. So you crush the whole grape. Mm-hmm. And after that, then there's a separation of the pulp and the skin, which means the mushiness inside, you separate it, and the skin, you put it on the side. And when it comes to fermentation, now fermentation happens on the pulp. Hence, you get the white wine. So it's the pulp that happens. Now you move to red. So now, if you move to red wine, we have the crushing. But immediately after crushing, there's no separation. So the red wine, you put the pulp and the skin, and you ferment everything. So the color of the red wine actually comes from the skin.
That's interesting.
Imagine eating an apple. If you eat an apple, you leave it, you go somewhere, you come back, just change color.
Absolutely.
It's tannins.
Yay.
Yay. So it's different colors. So you find that in cooler regions, white wine becomes the winner, you know. Some cooler, I'm even talking areas in Europe, which is over France, you find that white wine is the winner. And then in warmer regions, you find that red wine is the winner. How lucky are we to have the Western Cape where you become cool and cold
Amazing.
And warm? Yes, yes. So it's quite a few things, but I would say that it's the education around it, it's the certification, and it's also understanding how it works. When do you bottle? In the cycle of when the season and everything. So for me, I would advise people that it's important to start with the education itself and understanding licensing, certification, and also even before you distribute, you need a license. So it doesn't end with you having a bottle. There's a lot of things you have to do. So it is an industry where you need to work with other people. We have people who have got storages and distributors. One is not an industry where you buy yourself, have the grape, have the bottle, have the distribution trucks, and have the storage. So you need to work in a network where then you sign contracts with people who are already in the environment. Mm-hmm. And the big thing is tasting. How do you know which one needs to be done?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I must ask you then, Kapsi, where's your wine produced?
In the Western Cape. So In the Western Cape we have wine that is produced in the Stellenbosch area. Mm-hmm. We have Somerset West, we have Franschhoek, we have the Darling Valley, we have it's in different places. Mm-hmm. Because when we looked at what we wanted to get, we then realized that weather plays a very big role, temperature plays a very big role. So we then looked for regions where we think, okay, it's cooler, we can go. I had spoken about the white wine being best in cooler regions and the red wine being best in warmer regions. So that's what we looked at, but it's all in the Western Cape. Mm. But then we went to different farms because of the different types of product that we want.
It's very interesting, Gabs. And then I must ask you, so like the white grapes from Somerset won't taste like the white grapes from Franschhoek and from like Stellenbosch?
Yes, it won't taste the same. Maybe let me not talk about the areas themselves. Let me talk about the temperature itself.
Yeah, okay.
The cooler it gets, it's all about temperature.
Okay.
So if you add 4 more degrees, it changes. you know, you add another 4 more degrees. Imagine in an area where they get to -2 degrees.
Sure.
You know, so it's a different environment. But the grape itself, the white grape really likes cooler region. Mm. So when the cooler it is, it's like it thrives and it, I mean, that's the environment. And then the red grape enjoys a warmer region. So it's all different things that happen. And what adds into it is that, I mean, you know that in a year, the weather and temperature is not exactly the same. Mm-hmm. But that's how grapes go in terms of the cooler weather and the warmer weather.
Very interesting. So I must then ask you, Gabsi, so if there's somebody who's listening and they're keen on this whole value chain, there's a lot. It's not just being there with the grapes. It's harvesting, there's sourcing, yes, and so on. You know, how does one even learn about that space? And also, you know, what would you tell them, a beginner who's interested, you know, about that space of the whole value chain?
My advice, start with education, but you don't have to pay for the course. You can go online. If you go online and you watch a few videos, I think that's where you need to start. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I went for training. I went for an international course. And the bulk of the words were in French. So in the class, all we wanted to do was to spell the French words. Okay. We're just like sitting and thinking, how is it, you know, because now you need to get to spell everything. Okay. So education plays a part, because when you go through education, you're not only taught about South Africa. So for me, I would say go online first and get to read. But when you get to the classroom, if you have not learned any of these words, you don't even know where you are. You sit there and you're thinking, okay, you know what, I'm going to fail this class. So if you go online, it makes life easier. Mm-hmm. And also, if you then maybe enroll, there are free wine courses online, even before you pay. So I started with the free ones. Mm-hmm. Then I enrolled. And then I also went for a generic alcohol course. Mm. So there was beer, there was gin. I was so stressed. I was just like sitting there and thinking, okay, you know what? This time, I'm not a role model to anybody. I'm going to fail this thing. But I kept on moving, because I wanted to understand the industry as a whole. Then I went back. But I think having gone through, I've gone through, you got to do a wine course. Mm. It could be a short course. It could be a long course. But start with the free ones, and then you can graduate to the paid ones. So that then it becomes easier. But also try and practice the words, because somehow the grapes we've named them following French, the grape. Yes.
French name.
So you get your Sauvignon Blanc, you get your Chenin Blanc. So you just need to, rosé. Is it rose? Is it rosé? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's rosé. Oh, yeah, it's Merlot. Mm-hmm. So I think if you do it, even online, the dictionary online, you just go and press. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure about the physical dictionary that we have, mm-hmm. if it does have. I have not gone to it. But I think it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't advise someone to go to a course, a paid course, mm-hmm. without having seen anything. Yeah. You spoke also about the value chain. Mm-hmm. Now, when you go through training and you begin to understand the value chain, and it's regulated, and in the licenses. So as you read, they get to explain to you that once you remove from the grapes, because wine is actually fermented grape juice, if you summarize it. That's what it is. Uh-huh, so you get to see what needs to be done. But what is great is that the other partners as well, they're also regulated. So you're not the only one. Mm. So you go to bottling, it's regulated. You go to distribution, is regulated. So it's that environment. And I would advise people not to want to do everything themselves.
Interesting.
I don't know of any companies that do everything themselves. Choose what you'd like to do. And also, you don't have to start with a whole range of wines. If you feel like maybe you want to start with white wine, get to understand white wine and get to know it. But wanting to have a distribution of wine, wanting to have the storage, wanting to find out where the bottles are being sourced can be only a stressful exercise. Mm. I would say that know about the juice itself, know about the ingredients, and know about how to serve it. That's where you start. Mm. But the distribution can follow.
Very interesting. And I'm so glad you're giving us such solid advice this evening, Gabsi. Let's talk about, for wine enthusiasts, right? Let's talk about Math & Co. now.
Yes.
What makes Math & Co. different to other wine brands?
Okay, what is different is that for us, it's a lifestyle, okay?
Love it.
Yes. So it's a lifestyle brand. And also, we have partnered with different wine farms. Mm-hmm. So in some cases, you find that you only have one farm, mm-hmm. and all they have, maybe they can give you like red wine. Mm. And the next one, they can give you white. So for us, we've went and recognized many other farms and said, okay, we want the best from the farms. So if we know that the particular farm is not good in making red wine, then we don't get it from them.
Amazing.
So that then when we present our selection, it becomes a premium selection. Mm. Also, what is different about us is that we almost educate everybody who gets to Dink Merchant Course. So for us, it starts with education. For example, now we have our education. I brought you three types of classes.
Yes.
Because before we say cheers to Merchant Course, so we have the red wine class. Okay. I know the listeners at home cannot see it,
yes.
But the red wine is bigger. I will explain it because I cannot see it. I have the white wine class. I have the flute as well.
Yes.
So now, why are they different? They make a difference in your experience. So at Merchant Course, we don't just say, this is a bottle of wine, drink.
Mm.
We take you through so that then your experience can be the superior experience. Mm. For example, there are the flute class, and which is normally named the champagne class. Mm. We don't call it the champagne class. We call it flute because actually champagne is a region in France.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So they named their drink after the region in France. Mm-hmm. In South Africa, you see our wine is written MCC, Méthode Cab Classique,
yes.
But we normally call it Cab Classique.
Mm-hmm.
So what is important in that tall glass, why is it important to use it? It's the bubbles. So
yes.
The glass enables your bubbles to have a longer space to move. So there's a difference in using that glass than using any other glass. We come to white wine glass. Why is it different? The aromas.
Mm.
So also it keeps your temperature. So when we have our Merchant Course tasting, we say use this glass because white wine needs to be served, preferably chilled or semi-chilled. For those, I would say maybe a bit cold, just to make it common. But this white wine, now, if you use the right glass, you get your aromas, you maintain your temperature. If you go to red wine, if you use the nice bigger glass, now the breakdown happens nicer of all your aromas, and then it gives the space. And red wine, preferably, must be served room temperature.
Mm.
But now, room temperature can be also be lightly chilled. Imagine if we modeling from France or working with people in France, room temperature in France is not the same as our room temperature. So we say room temperature or lightly chilled. So now, whilst you're enjoying your half full glass of red wine, which we recommend, so that then you give it time to breathe, to break down. So when you start touching your glass, then you enjoy your drink more. So you ask me what is different about us. We educate you about these things or wherever you go, so that then we get you to understand what you're drinking. Also, what we do is that we provide a wine training, and we also provide wine tasting so that people are able to move. We have a wine tasting at the airport. We're the only ones in OR Tambo when you get to the airport, South African airport. So we provide wine tasting so that people can then get familiar with the drink. They get to see what it is. Also, if you look at Matt and Co, Matt himself, the symbol of Matt, it's about leadership. So we're not just talking a wine story. We're talking about leadership. And the figure we have of a matured, elderly man is about leadership, wisdom. And we're also celebrating men. You know, it's something we celebrate. We have a figure of a male because we're saying in any setup, there are people. And this is about Met and Co. And Met and Co, what does co mean? This is a Latin word.
Mm-hmm.
It means jointly and together.
Latin.
So, yes. So we see ourselves in a congregation, you know.
Mm.
We are that red wine that we're saying in a congregation when they say, pour the red wine on Sunday, then we are that wine.
Mm.
We see ourselves being where colleagues are.
Mm.
So people are sitting together and enjoying it. We're saying when companies are together, because of the selection you've provided, we're saying because there's variety, the chances of you liking something are very high.
Mm.
And so the core in Met and Co is about just us coming together and different people coming together. And you've seen our tasting. We find all sorts of people from even different countries at the airport, different countries coming together. But when they come together, we see that they're different.
Love
suddenly
that.
They want different types of wine. And that's what we're about. So that's the difference that we're bringing. And obviously, we cannot stop it without talking about the taste.
Yes.
So selected to say we want that premium taste. So when you drink it, it's like, okay, this is what I want
this
to drink.
This is the right one.
So amongst others, I'm just highlighting a few, but that's the difference we're bringing. You get to the taste and then you know this is Met and Co.
It's very interesting, Gabsi, what you're talking to us about, because there's many people who don't know a lot about wine. So I'm very keen to find out if a person is a wine novice and they'd like to be more educated about the different types of wines, the different palates. You know, what are the steps that a person can take to build a good palate for wine? You know, how do you build the, especially red wine? You know, red wine is, it's a different kind of wine.
Okay, maybe before I answer your question, let me take you through the tasting
itself.
Yes,
let's
okay,
do that.
So wine tasting, if you do have a selection of wine, let's say you have a Cab Classique, which is your bubbles, you have your white wine, you have your red wine. We always recommend that you start with the white wine, because then you're talking about building the palate, So now, in terms of wine, we have sweet wine, we have semi-sweet, we have dry wine. So if you're tasting in one session, you have to taste all three. Mm. Our recommendation, you go white, then you go bubble, and then you go red wine at the end. Now, the difference, what is the difference? The difference is, in a white wine, you pick up a lot of fruit. Mm-hmm. So I'll take you through wine tasting now. Mm. So if the gentleman can even open one for us.
That would be lovely.
And we will not be, for our listeners, we're not leaving you behind. So we're not drinking.
Yeah.
We'll just talk about wine tasting.
Yeah.
So the information we're giving you, can use it for your tasting, but we won't be drinking the wine. So going back to your question, now how do you build it? So for people, you don't have to build up to red wine. Mm. You just need to know what your preference is. So for the white, yes. So okay. For the white wine, also is not the same. For us, we've got the Chenin Blanc, we've got the Sauvignon Blanc. So if you like fruitiness, let's say you like fruity, you like dry wine, you like semi-sweet. So it's about the taste that you want. And also it's about maybe what are you using it for, or what are you pairing it with? For example, if you're having wine on itself, it's different. But if you're pairing, you know, we always say don't put fire in fire, because you go, yes.
Okay.
For example, so if you can do a Cab Sauv, it's a drink, red wine, it's got high tannins, high acidity. So Cabernet Sauvignon is red wine. In Metencourt, the bottle I have now is 2020.
Mm-hmm.
It's got very high tannins. It's got very high acidity. So we're saying that if you have such a drink and you're also having chilies, so that's why we're saying you don't match fire and fire. So food pairing, without breaking it down to you can have salmon and chicken, whenever you're having your drink, you must realize that you can have different drinks with your food. For example, if you're having your salmon, you can start with rosé, and having your salmon is a starter. And then you move, you have your main, you can move to Sauvignon Blanc. You can have your, let's say you move to your oxtail, you have your Sauvignon Blanc. Mm. So you can have different wines and pair them with your different food. But in summary, so that then when people are away, they don't know which one, must remember you don't pair fire with fire. Also you don't pair, if the taste is mild, so you try and ensure that you do it in a way that your palate is, you are able to enjoy the wine. So the ones that we have now, he has opened a rosé, Brut rosé, and rosé for home. They cannot see what I'm doing. I'm holding a bottle and I'm holding it facing the direction of the person I'm going to pour for.
Okay.
So that's very important, because then you can see what I'm pouring for you.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, our bottles at the bottom, they have a space where you can put your thumb. And it's very important that the person can see it. Whether it's at home or in a restaurant, they can see what they're having. Mm-hmm. And then also when I pour it now, because I have a Cab Classique, which is a Brut Rosé, I'm going to be using a flute.
Okay.
What is normally known as a champagne glass.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now as I pour, the front of the bottle is facing the person that I'm pouring for.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very important. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm pouring. So as I pour, you can immediately see the bubbles.
I just want to ask, for champagne, do you fill the glass? Because I know for the other ones, you might not fill the glass.
So now I need to correct you now.
Yes, okay.
Let's you have talk failed about the first
okay,
lesson.
I do.
This is Cab Classique.
Okay.
And you have the bubbles.
Okay.
So for the way you fill it in moderately, so that then you don't get your bubbles running all the way up.
Okay.
So now you said about how do you train. There's a question
the palate,
you asked.
Yes.
Yes. So now what we have now is Brut Rosé.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have used the flute glass. This is the tall glass that we're using. And now with this glass, the first step is identification of the drink. Mm-hmm. So look at the drink, you identified it. now you can see this is brut rosé. It's very important. Look, we've gone through three steps. The first one was the person showing it to you. Mm-hmm. You identified it as your drink. This is my Metencourt brut rosé. The second step was then now me pouring the bottle and still showing you the bottle. So you can still read that this is the bottle. Imagine in a nightclub situation. Imagine in a restaurant. You're talking to other people. You've ordered a Metencourt rosé. They bring you something else. Mm. Then you'll be able to see that this is not the drink.
Yes.
The third one, you've poured it. Identify your drink. Can you see the bubbles?
Yes.
Yes. So now this is our cup classic. Mm-hmm. So anybody, so if you move with champagne, so it will be like you failed it, a live session. Mm-hmm. So once you see, so now when you lift it, you can see your bubbles. You can see mm-hmm. them shooting nicely there. So if we had poured a Chenin Blanc or white mm-hmm. wine, it's called still wine, mm-hmm. would have gone still. If you had poured red wine, it would have gone, you would have seen the red mm-hmm. color. If you had gone for rosé, you would have then seen, yes. I was also tell you something about rosé so that people know where it comes from in terms of wine making process. So once we have it, the second step, you smell your drink. So you bring it closer to your nose and then you swirl it a bit and then you smell. Now, the big thing, what are you smelling for? Okay. Now, when the drinks are made, they break down and they give you various smells. Now, the question is, are you going to pick up the same smell as me and everybody else? Interestingly, depends where you come from. For some of us, we are born in small towns mm-hmm. or in villages, etc. If you didn't have peaches in your village, and I'm telling you there's peaches here, you're not going to smell it.
Got you.
So there's nothing wrong if you cannot pick it, the smell that you have. So for the Caribbeans and people coastal, they'll tell you that there's pineapple here. They'll tell you there's peach. They'll tell you there's nectarine. They'll tell you and many other things and citrus fruits. But some other people say, I have sinuses. I cannot pick it up. Some will say it's fruit. Some people say, no, this is fruit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there is no wrongness. So if you cannot pick up that there's nectarine here, there's nothing wrong with
asparagus.
It.
Oh, my God. Yes. There's asparagus.
Vanilla.
Who knows?
Yes. Yeah. So it's different drinks. So once you have it, so you're getting familiar with your drink. Mm-hmm. So let's say you were in an environment where you didn't see the person bring the drink and pouring it. Mm. As you pick it up, you can identify your drink. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm having the bubbles. I can see them. Mm-hmm. I'm smelling it. Yes, it is brut rosé. Mm. Then you have it. You put it. And also you can identify that there are no objects inside. There is no vinegar off smell. So when you smell, it's like, okay, you know what? This is my drink. So you'll be able to identify your drink just from the smell besides the steps that I've shown you. The third one is the cheers one. When you get to drink, you have your drink. Mm. So that's the third step. Drink it also moderately.
Okay.
We are about responsible drinking. So this is not one of those where all the bottles here are going to be finished. We recommend that people drink responsibly. Mm. One or two glasses, you enjoy it. You can still carry on with your normal life. Mm-hmm. And because wine is fermented grapes, you can, even the next day, you can put it in the fridge, close it nicely, you come back the next day and continue to drink. So it's a drink you can have. But we don't encourage that people then go and say, you know what, I'm finishing this bottle and these bottles. I'm just like, you know, we don't recommend it. We recommend that you drink and you enjoy it. And you can still keep it in the fridge. Yes. You can close it. You've always done that thing. So the fourth step is thoughts. This is the final step because you have your drink and you're thinking, what am I drinking? Okay, what does it feel like? Was the smell same like the drink that I had? Where would I have it? So some people in our wine tasting sessions, they want to have weddings. They're thinking, okay, you know what? This one is good for the guests or this one is good for the main table. So it's thoughts. That's one that takes longer because then you enjoy your drink and you're thinking, okay, is it heavy? Is it a heavy drink? And when we were doing wine training, there was an exercise they made us to do to say you wine taste and you check when your mouth is dry again.
Okay.
You know, so that's why I recommend the training because then say if you wine tasting, then you're able to tell whether the wine is dry, semi-sweet or sweet and you get to move. So now we've done the brut rosé and then other drinks as well. You follow the four-step tasting process and if you don't do it for your first drink, each time you're going to have a drink.
Okay.
It's just a simple four-step process. You go through it, you smell your drink, then you always know that your drink is in good condition and it's the drink that we actually ordered and we enjoy it. So I said something about rosé.
Yes, yes, yes.
Where does it come from? Rosé comes from red wine. It's all red grapes.
Okay.
So the process for making red grapes, remember I said with the red grapes, we crush. No, we don't separate. It's the white wine.
Yes.
The red wines, we crush and we ferment.
Yes.
Because the skin, it's the pulp and the skin, everything is fermented together. So with rosé, immediately, once that is done, you skip a few hours, you go in and you get your rosé. So it's the same process as red wine.
So it's just by quickly.
You get it in a few hours.
Oh.
It doesn't mean that it's ready. Mm. It continues to break down in now a different environment, not in the environment where you're fermenting. Hence, you'll find that some of the rosé is lightly peach and then you find pinkish. And people have been asking, why is it all different all the time?
Mm-hmm.
It's now when you choose to take it out. So different wine companies will choose that I'm going to leave my rosé for an additional 3 hours. So when it gets to be taken out, so it is made in the same, I would say, barrel as it comes from the red grapes as well. So it just gets to be taken out. But white wine is done on its own. An interesting thing, people have been asking, can you make white wine from red grapes?
Yes.
Okay. Because you take off the skin.
Yes, of course.
So you can use the white wine, mm-hmm. you can use the red grape, you take off the skin, but mostly the white grape is used. But you can take the red grape, you take off the skin, you remain with what we call the pulp,
mm-hmm.
then you continue the fermentation, then you still get your wine. So you can make it from red grapes,
mm-hmm.
and people have been asking, can you use other fruit? Mm-hmm. Yes, there are other parts of the world that are not just using grapes, they're using other fruits, but we prefer to use grapes.
Kapsi, I must ask you about storing. You said, for instance, especially when it comes to something like a Captasic where you'd leave it overnight.
Yes.
How do I store it to make sure that tomorrow when I pour,
I
still have bubbles?
Okay, the bubbles is important. We normally have they sell them. Different retailers sell them. So the enclosure, the stoppers for the MCC. We recommend that they get to be used. I know in many setups they open and then they use the same top. And then they move. So that's what is used. But normally I see people in a party environment. So I've seen that quite a lot. But we recommend that you get the stopper, then so that you are able to close it. Then you come back to it the next time. It's still fine. So we recommend that. And also we recommend that now there's another storage. Now, if the bottle, I would say this is a vertical position. So we have the base and you have the cork on top. So we recommend that for the listeners at home, we store the bottle in a horizontal position because we have a cork here. And for it not to crack, it must be moist.
Okay.
So if you're renovating a house or you're excited, you're buying wine or you're buying someone a wine rack, please go for a rack that will ensure that the wine is stored in this fashion. Met & Co wines, we use cork, so we have it here so that it remains moist. For a red wine, some people are keeping it for 3, 4, 12 years. And if you keep it in this position, you might come back after 12 years and you try and open it and you realize that your cork is, it's broken and it gets inside. So we recommend, when the cork is up and you have the base, I'll call that a vertical position. And then when we make it lie, the cork is on the side and also the base is on the side. That is now a horizontal position. That is what we recommend so that then your bottle is kept for longer. Don't worry, you take it. For those of you who are listening, I know some of you were going tomorrow and buying wine racks to say, I'm doing it. Please store it horizontally. And remember, no under 18. So if you're under 18 and you're listening to this conversation together with your parents, you are not the one buying the wine rack tomorrow. You are not one buying alcohol. And when the time comes, when you're much older, you'll know about storing wine. So that's what we recommend. And we've seen that some people are storing it very nicely. But it's the wrong position.
Interesting.
And some people are renovating houses and putting very beautiful
wines in a box in a storeroom somewhere.
Yeah, some are putting it in the kitchen. It's so nice, but it's upright. Then you're realizing, okay, it's good. But then over time, if you're going to spoil your wine, it's going to work against you. Mm-hmm. So we prefer that you make them lie horizontally so that then your cork is moist and lasts as long as it can last.
Well, guys, we're out of time. I will tell you, this is possibly one of my favorite conversations that we've had here on the show. Thank you for coming and giving us the Matt and Cole experience. Yes. Quickly, before we wrap up the show, let's find out if somebody wants a Matt and Cole experience, where do they find you?
We have a wine tasting in Oar Tambo. Mm-hmm. We have Oar Tambo is our South African airport.
The airport, yes.
It could be a municipality. Oar Tambo Airport. We have a farm called Portion 85. We have a wine tasting room where you can come for wine experience and also training. We're talking from hours training to long attempt training. Mm-hmm. That you can find us. Now, you also find us online. We do sell online. And we're very thankful for the many the restaurants and hotels that are keeping Matt and Co. and also Pocket Stores. So that you highly appreciate. People can go and find Matt and Co. there. Thank you so much.
Well, that's how we wrap up our business for this week with Gabsi Matendra, the founder of Matt and Co. Really, we spoke about her business, but also got schooled on wine, for people who are novices, but also people who are, quite into wines. I think there was definitely something for everybody this evening. I'd like to thank the production team, Mohesi and Snetemba, for holding us down for the week. And that is where we wrap things up tonight. I leave you in the capable hands of Power Sports Extra with Maskepe. He is on standby. And I am back with you on Monday at 6 p.m. Have a fantastic weekend. My name is Nolutando Mthonthi Mlambo. Chat then.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.